Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Welcome to Point of View, our second edition of the week. So this obviously being a Tuesday, we are going to be doing this until 10 today. But I really just want to take you to a story that is, unfolding right before our eyes. And that is the rescue mission in Stilfontein. Of course, we've been speaking about this for some time now that you know that there was Operation Valumgoti that started last year sometime. And there's been a lot of movement around that operation. On the line with us very graciously is Minister of the Police, Senzo Mkhono, who has agreed to talk to us while all of this is happening. A very good evening, Minister, and thank you so much for your time.
Good evening to you and to the listeners.
Minister, I just want to get from you if you have now an official number that that you can give us of the number of bodies that have come up since the operation started, of the professional crane going down with this, what you're calling the third and final phase of the operation, rescue operation. We are hearing it's 51. Can you confirm that?
Yes. Since we left there have been a few more bodies that have been found, or that have been retrieved, and it adds up to 51 today. Mm-hmm. But I think we must also speak about the number of people who have been brought to the surface alive, mm-hmm. which is quite higher than that number.
Yes.
And overall.
And what is that number, Minister?
Well, unfortunately, it is locked here on my cell
yes,
phone,
of course.
So I want to be accurate when giving numbers. But I know that all the time, even today, yes. The number was higher of those who are alive.
Yeah.
Vis-a-vis that of the deceased.
Sure. You know, Minister, we are looking at what you're calling the third and final operation, and it's bringing to the fore quite a number of things. We seem to be getting information coming through with video footage and allegations of people who are coming up. And of course, now we can't get too close now because there is an operation that is much more professional that's underway now. We're getting stories about extortion underground. We're hearing stories of kingpins underground. We're hearing stories of people who are leaders and what you would call sort of like kingpins and gang kind of leaders, and people who are coercing others. How much information can you say sounds accurate from what we're hearing?
No, ever since we got closer, in fact, ever since this Operation Valumgoti was launched and people started going out, they are informing us, they are telling a number of stories. One story is that, no, we were recruited from Johannesburg, somewhere from Johannesburg. We were not told where we were going. Never did we think that we were going to a mining operation. And so we were recruited under false pretenses. That's a nice job and so on. Two, we are then told about people forced to buy food and to buy water. Whatever has been taken down there, we are told to buy and so on. Three, if we want to go, we are held against our will. You have to get permission to leave. If at all you get any permission, we are told about people who are armed down there and therefore able to force others to do things against their will. There are many things that we are told there, and on our side, police, there is evidence that a lot of material was taken down. That would include food. It would include things like Heineken. It would include things like a generator. It would include petrol. And so it's food and non-food things that have been taken down there. And therefore, we are urging that when people talk about allowing things to go down, they must be very careful about what they are talking about. On the basis of evidence that is there. That's why police ended up saying, look, let's control whatever is, needs to go down to make those people survive while we are assisting them to go out. It can't be anything and everything, especially when people begin to talk about firearms down there.
Minister, the Operation Valumgoti consists of many many ministries, not just the police right now as we know it. DMRE, I'm told, Human Settlement, your department, Social Development, the Defence, Justice, in fact, the security cluster as a whole. Before, even prior to your appointment, so I may add, this is prior to your time, when this operation was announced, the Ministry of Defence actually were the primary leaders of this operation. Were you given a report on why they changed?
I was given a report by management of police, mm-hmm. a thorough report, a briefing, and even at JCPS cluster, mm-hmm. which is a cluster of different departments, and together with my colleagues from various departments, including justice, including intelligence and all of that. Mm-hmm. And then we started saying, look, in order for us to make progress as we need to on Operation Valumgoti, we need to involve DMR so that, yes, DMR was involved right from mm-hmm. the beginning, mm-hmm. yes. Mm-hmm. But roles have not been clearly defined mm-hmm. as they are now, mm-hmm. which is an effort that we made in December and January. And we're happy that we have overcome that particular problem. Because DMR has relates to a number of components under their wing, including the Minerals Council, including the owners of mines in the country, and so on. So it was going to be easy when we define roles mm-hmm. for them to assist all of us to say, no, that role don't allow a situation where government must carry the whole burden mm-hmm. Of Operation Valumgoti, as it were, including in Stilfontein, mm-hmm. because that mine is operational, mm-hmm. that mine has owners, and that owners have obligations, and these are the obligations. And so they help define, and that became their role, and that's why we are where we are now. It's because of the definition of roles as we move on with this.
Perhaps I'm asking you in the sense of the role of security. We saw prior to your coming in, boots on the ground, literally boots of army people on the ground. And that's why I'm asking, why the change of that particular strategy?
Yeah, no, at the beginning, you would recall that there would be a narrative that said, in such and such a place, there's mm-hmm. illegal mining that mm-hmm. is happening there. Mm-hmm. And people who are active there are illegal foreigners. Mm-hmm. And therefore, police were in the forefront mm-hmm. because where there is illegality or the breaking or unlawfulness, mm-hmm. they are the ones that need to be right at the front and so on. So it started off like that. It happened like that. But as we moved on, another aspect came to the fore. What is this aspect? It is the aspect that there are people under, then they need to be retrieved or assisted out of the mine. Now that became a different story altogether, because you are no longer dealing with just an illegal mine where you can go and chase people away from and arrest illegal miners. It became a question of quite a significant number of people underground with a number of things that are illegal in their nature that are happening underground. And therefore, it actually actively required DMR to be on board and to be actively working shoulder to shoulder with the police as is happening now.
You know, Minister, I want to stay away from being specific with Stilfontein and this being a general problem. And in saying, I know for a fact we've been told, even from DMRE actually very recently, that this particular mine did not have a closure certificate. So they were still in the process. The owners of the mine were still in the process of acquiring that certificate. And there are obviously various stages. And unfortunately, we find ourselves here. Why are we not learning from the difficulties of those who are willing to finally close the mine the way that, you know, is required, who say to us, no, we are unable to complete the process because criminality creeps in and then we have this problem? In other words, have they or do they start engaging the police before we get to this point so that the process is more seamless and we don't have to be looking at the number of bodies that we're looking at and the kind of criminality that we're looking at and the resources that your department has to have to pump into this kind of operation?
Now, on a lighter note,
yes,
I would say from time to time, no, when DMR allocates licenses, look at applications,
yes,
and all of that,
yes,
and they actually end up allocating, yeah, to this and that, we are not called as police. even when the person given the license, when they mine and enjoy money, police are never there. But when there
it is a lovely light note, Minister.
As soon as there are problems, yes, police must come.
Absolutely.
but the stance, the position that Minister of Minerals and Petroleum has taken,
yes,
is that the miners, the capital, that is capital,
mm-hmm,
who are interested in this and that mineral,
mm-hmm,
in South Africa, they come, they get given licenses,
mm-hmm,
and they enjoy all the money and, mm-hmm, profits and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
They must be made to be responsible even when the mine closes,
mm-hmm,
in terms of what they have to do. So what DMR are saying and are doing now is to tighten up, strengthen their resolve,
mm,
in terms of ensuring,
mm,
that there are consequences for those who are given licenses when it comes to closing mines, which may not have been,
yes,
necessarily been the case during colonialism, during apartheid, and at some point until new reviews on laws were done,
mm-hmm,
and more enforcement. So they are now into looking at every other method and way of enforcing, strictly enforcing, so that we avoid this thing in future.
Yeah.
We are learning as a country and as government.
Well, Minister, I'm not naive to think this is easy because, as you said, this,
yes,
is capital. I'm not naive to think it's easy. But is there a really serious consideration of the fact that as we have this rescue operation, and we're calling it a rescue operation, but at the same time, you're enforcing the law. So as they come in, you assess, you process, you're going,
yes,
to go through the processes and make sure that people are brought to book. Is a similar process happening of those who have adjudicated their responsibilities in this regard, the mine owners, who actually the law does support for them to be accountable for what has happened, because actually the law is there?
Let me just yes, I agree with you, but let me indicate one thing, that,
yes,
when you first heard of a story about Zama Zamas,
mm,
you thought of a group of five people,
mm,
digging, using a hand shovel,
mm,
to dig and there.
Mm.
And below our noses or under our noses, this became some kind of a quasi-industry,
mm,
before we ahead of us being consciously aware of what is happening. And I think this is what has been happening, getting overtaken by people who have seen some life into this thing. Minister Mantashe was saying their estimates in terms of their 2024 report is that this has grown into being a 60 billion kind of a mine. And, and it's not just Zama-Zama, it's not just illegal mining, but it's actually robbing South Africa of what is what belongs to South Africa. It's an attack on the economy of South Africa. And therefore, it's a big story, it's a big issue, which we must arrest. And therefore, that calls for not just enforcement of the laws that are existing, even reviews, even every other thing that, like on our side as police, we are very much interested in saying, when these illegal miners take out whatever they take out, where does it go? And how? And from there, we are doing an investigation via the PCI so that we look at the high end of all these processes, because even some of the people were told that are talking about human rights and so on, some of them are mentioned in some cases as being part of the chain, the value chain, and therefore we are investigating the matters. And you are right, we need to tighten laws. We need to do investigations. We need to stop this. On the other, we also need to benefit South Africans. We need to see whether there aren't some of the mines, or parts of some of the mines, from which smaller miners can still benefit, because there's a lot of unemployment. DMR is dealing with all of those. They call them artisan.
Artisanal miners.
Yes.
Well, Minister, I must say, I'm actually more interested in that work. And I would love to talk to you once that work, you know, gets underway. And as I said, I'm not naive. I'm not thinking that this is going to be done by tomorrow. Capital has money and capital will fight. But we want to know. Who is gaining from these operations underground? Who abandoned this mine? Yes.
It is extremely important. Where does this thing end, where it is processed, properly processed into
real
whatever?
Markets, the formal market. And that's where it goes.
Yes. If it's at 60 billion, you can think of it, 60 billion. It means there are serious people and serious companies behind this. And some of them would be probably known companies avoiding tax and other things, and therefore investing in illegal mining. It could happen.
Well, you've got a tough job ahead, Minister, because that's where the nub of the matter is going to be. Appreciate you giving us this update. Thank you very, very much, Minister Mkhunu, there for your
time. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for the conversation.
Thank you. Minister of the Police, Senzo Mkhunu.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.